Blog Talk Radio.
Stop the ass, stop the ass. Jealous friends' opinions last. So many can't, young or old. Try no matter what your tone holds.
Hi, everybody. My name is Russell Foisey, and I am your host for Original Lyric Stream Radio. We're on a special night this week, with tomorrow being Thanksgiving. And first, I want to wish everybody out here a very happy Thanksgiving. Had a safe holiday. And I know we're in crazy times with this pandemic. And, you know, just think about a couple things you should be thankful for tomorrow. I can think of a couple: family and friends, you know, to start. So everybody have a great holiday and be safe tomorrow. I welcome first-time listeners from around the planet. We seem to have new listeners on every week. And yeah, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. To listen live, you're going to log on to blogtalkradio.com/originallyricstreamradio. The chorus you just heard is my own, titled Stomp the Ants. ANT stands for Automatic Negative Thought Syndrome. And as the lyric says in the chorus, so many can'ts, young or old, try no matter what you're told. And the inspiration for the song came pretty easy. I wrote this in about 15 minutes. Someone once told me I was too old to write lyrics and sing, and I had to look at them, and I said, are you kidding me? Music is ageless. We all know this. And we all know this, too. On this show, can't is a word we do not recognize. Thank you so much to the doctors, nurses caring for the sick in this COVID-19 pandemic. You are the true heroes, and we certainly hope for a normal return to our lives here very soon. And please, everybody, again, stay safe. Thank you to my friend Bill Miller on the dashboard this evening, uploading photos, music, and to ensure we have a quality sound. Bill, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, Russell. How are you?
Bill, I want to take this opportunity to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much tomorrow, and all the best regards to you and your family.
Thank you. Same to you. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And if you like the show, please share it. Tell your friends about us. And also, same, wishing everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving.
We're excited tonight. We're on episode number 70. And we're getting closer to that 100 mark. And every week's, you know, a great adventure, Bill. We have somebody new, different genres, different styles, and that's what this show is all about.
Yes, sir. We've got somebody new all the time, don't we?
Yes, we do. Well, let's go get them. We got a great show this week.
All right.
Everyone, we're an iHeartRadio podcast, and you can listen to our radio show replay Friday on the iHeartRadio app on your Android, Apple, iOS device, and also on iHeartRadio.com. We're also on Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, and anywhere you listen to your favorite. The radio show concept is based on my first in-studio recording titled, of course, Original Lyric Stream. This was my dream come true with my own lyrics and recorded songs 7 years ago. My website, russellfoiseymusic.com. I'll spell my last name. It's F as in Frank, O-I-S-Y. I'm a singer, songwriter, producer, and I've recorded 2 albums. My social media is on Spotify, iTunes, Reverb Nation, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Our hope is to pay it forward. To the individual listening tonight with a desire to begin as a singer, songwriter, composer, musician, or engineer in our creative arts. And as Bill and I just said, we're going to be speaking with guests in the weeks ahead. They're going to tell their own story and inspiration behind the lyrics and music. My own writing inspiration has come from my life experience, current events, and also family. I wrote my very first song lyrics in 2012. That's only 8 years ago, and if I can do it, everybody, you can as well. So please try. All right, time for the introduction to our next guest interview, and we want to thank our guest tonight. We had originally had him scheduled for November 12th, and we had a bad tropical storm in the west coast of Florida. I am in Palm Harbor, which is about 30 minutes south of Tampa, Florida, and we probably had 40 to 45 mile an hour per wind, so it was pretty gusty, and we had some electrical disturbances and such. But we really thank our guests for rescheduling and coming on tonight. And you're viewing a slideshow of the Professor P. Soup. Let's play a great track, and this is titled P. Soup's a Rock and Roller.
Like me, they get frightened. So you know, I started thinking, hey, give me some slack. I didn't know Abraham Lincoln, but if we could just all get together, like ebony and ivory, I don't know, lace and leather, and agree about one thing, no question, there'd be peace on earth, and I have a suggestion.
Peace is awesome?
Nah, some folks can't stand it. What, we in a world?
Maybe Smokey and the Bandit.
Nah, there's only one thing that makes the cut, where all men stand united. No matter what, ask the president, the prime minister, the Ayatollah.
Everybody knows P. Soup's the rock and roller.
I thought Rocky's the greatest film of all time.
Ah, forget it. There's always some sissy out there who just doesn't get it. I know, Sinatra. Everyone loves old Blue Eyes. Oh, man, what's it gonna take to get true to you guys?
Some say this piece is just a rap.
Nah, that's not the truth. He's a lyrical Da Vinci, a musical Babe Ruth. He can rock and shock and rap and swing. You name the genre, he's the undisputed king. He's ushered in a golden era. All the new kids are calling it the reign of terror. Stay out of the soup kitchen, homie. It's a trap. They'll cook you up and serve you all over the map. You're trying to scare the professor? That's an epic fail. You got his gangsters, Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail. So be smart like us.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed, and let's all hold hands and in harmony proclaim from Boise to Jersey, down to Pensacola.
Everybody shout, Pea Soup's a rock and roller.
Pennsylvania, Tasmania, all the way to Angola.
Everybody shout, Pea Soup's a rock and roller.
Yeah, P. Soup's a rock and roller. Please let me introduce and welcome a funny, talented singer, songwriter, musician, blending in comedy into the jam, Professor P. Soup. Thank you so much for joining me on Original Lyric Stream Radio. Do we have the professor with us? Hello,
it
professor.
Appears we've lost you, Mayor.
You hear me?
Oh,
no, I'm here.
Yes, I
I'm
can.
There he
okay,
is.
There you are.
There I am. Hello. You
welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hey,
to Original
Russell, thanks for having
radio.
Me on. Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're very
and, happy Thanksgiving, and I love the message. Definitely stomp those ants. And, hey, if I had known you when I wrote that song, I mean, from Boise to Joyzy, you know, I mean, Russell Foyzy, you fit right in there. So.
It's very rhythmic, isn't it?
I mean, perfect name. I didn't know you existed back then, but I'm glad to have made your acquaintance. Terrific singer-songwriter yourself, sir.
Well, thank you very much. And we're going to ask you quite a few questions so our listeners can get to know you a little better. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, that's a great track we just heard. You know, you got a little humor there. You have some killer guitar licks there, and I like a couple of your quotes. You're saying death is easy, comedy is hard, musical chameleon, comedian, Weird Al Yankovic meets Black Sabbath and Ice-T with a splash of Monty Python. That's an interesting description. Talk to me about the name, how that came about, and the artistry you use with comedy and rock. How did this all begin?
Well, as far as the name, I mean, it's not going to be one of those. It's pretty much one of those, uninspired Rocky Balboa things. You know, how did he come up with the Italian Stallion? Hey, I was just eating breakfast one day, you know. I actually wrote a rap satire. I wrote a rap satire many, many years ago, and I ascribed it to three fictitious authors, Dr. Def, I.B. Poe, and P. Soup, because I thought they sounded like fake rap names. And then I was teaching a class once, and a student was beatboxing, and I said, yeah, I'm a rapper, I'm P. Soup. I pulled that out of the air, and I decided that was my name, adding professor later on, because I am actually, gives me more things to rhyme with. So Professor P. Soup, I thought was a great name. And, you know, it's hard to come up with a name that nobody else has and nobody else is. I'm the one and only Professor P. Soup, so I'm pretty happy with that. As far as the comedic part of it, it just seemed kind of natural to me because this surprises some of my English friends. But we had BBC in New York where I grew up, and I came up with Monty Python and such, and that kind of defined my sense of humor and, appreciation of the absurd. And in the late 80s, I was part of a satirical ensemble called Trash Trio. And we prided ourselves on being really dark, and we were like the outer limits of politically incorrect, but I don't think we even realized it. And we tried to be funny, which was like debatable. A couple of my old Trash Trio songs have survived into the modern age, but with new lyrics. And of course, you know, Al Yankovic. And, I do summarize my music kind of the way you said, although I write in every genre and kind of make up new ones as needed. But that's just the way for me. I don't only write satirical comedy songs, as we will discuss later on, but that's the bulk of it.
Yeah, tell everybody where you're originally from, and I know you currently reside in California. What part?
Yeah, Southern California, in the Inland Empire, but a very, very reasonable drive from the big bad city, so I get to go out there a lot when stuff is happening, which of course it isn't now. But I'm originally from New York. You got a problem with that? And I lived a few years in the Midwest, and for the last 22 years, I've been here in SoCal. So I'm supposed to be mellow, I guess, but as Weird Al sang, I'll be mellow when I'm dead. So, you know, yeah, but that's it, where I'm at now. East Coast,
yeah,
West Coast,
I think I can attempt,
all over the place.
I think I can attempt maybe a little New York accent, like, oh, yo, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, we heard that in that song there. It's there are actually 10 vocal tracks on that. The guys that are hanging out in a corner talking about world peace and stuff, they're like 10 voices there, so I kind of went a little overboard. But this piece soup, he's just a rapper. But, I had to bring a little Brooklyn into it.
There you go. Who are some of the artists out here that you've looked up to as a mentor and for inspiration?
Well, the ones you mentioned, certainly. To be honest, like right now, there isn't much that's really new, apart from the indie music scene, where there's an endless, it's absolutely a tsunami of fantastic talent out there. But, I'm kind of a dinosaur, and I totally own that. The mainstream has very little that moves me. I mean, I like Lady Gaga and a couple other new acts, but I am really inspired by my original music heroes from the 70s who are still out rocking in their 60s and 70s. And, you know, here in Southern California, the Sunset Strip, classic rock lives. I mean, you go to the Rainbow Bar and Grill where all the legends partied and met and discussed forming new bands, which would become iconic. I mean, that's where Ronnie James Dio and Tony Iommi met to discuss Black Sabbath. And the Whiskey and Go-Go in the Viper Room, where a lot of them cut their teeth. You know, in the last couple of years, I've seen the following acts still performing and still putting out new records. Alice Cooper, Ace Frehley, Cherie Curry of the Runaways, Angel, and The Who. And all of them have new material, as does other favorite acts that I haven't seen, like Bob Dylan and Blue Oyster Cult. So that's a real artistic shot of B12 that kind of keeps me young, is basically living in the past. But it's still here, and it never dies. Music never dies.
Now, I know you've written over 60-plus songs. Let's talk about the construction of the song. And I ask this question every week as we get different answers. So when you think of melody, lyrics, and in your case, comedy, and then you throw in, you know, your guitar riffs and chord composition. What is your order of priority in how you, you know, start the construction of a song?
Well, sometimes I'll be noodling and they're walking around some instrument and there's that. The other guys and gals might pick up on. The rest of the Eagles were like, whoa, now. We got to put on other hats and try to. So it's more likely. Song. Oh, here's. Black Sabbath send
hey,
up.
Hey, Professor, I think we're breaking up a little bit.
What's that?
Do you have a good connection on your end? I think we're breaking up a little bit.
I don't know how good it is. I was using Skype, and I got dropped actually once while listening to your intro.
Oh, did you?
So hopefully that won't happen. If I need to. You better now?
That's a little better. Yeah, it's a little better.
Okay. Sorry. I don't have Wi-Fi here, unfortunately. Like I said, I could call on the phone if it helps, but I just thought the sound might be better on Skype. But now, solo acts like me, we got to put on other hats and try to compliment. Although, as I was saying, it's most likely, in my case, it's going to be a phrase or a concept, a silly horror song about telemarketers or my Black Sabbath send up Mr. Payday advance, that kind of thing, turning the mundane things into a nightmare. But a phrase or a concept or a title – I taught for many years, and because it was a state-regulated program, there was a lot of regulatory legalese. So often the words up to and including would come up, and I thought, hey, that's a good title, up to and including love. So that became I started singing, if you want money, I can get that for you, honey. And it became my first female vocal collaboration during this cycle. And another time, I just knew I wanted to use the name Scotland Yard in a song. I'm a huge Sherlock Holmes fan, and I think Scotland Yard is like the coolest name any agency ever had. And before you know it, I was going, call the FBI and Scotland Yard, because it's a mystery how Pea Soup can rock so hard. You know, like, okay, so these just – mostly it'll be that. it's another rock song based on the preposterous notion that I'm like the greatest rapper alive, sending up that whole genre and all its confrontational braggadocio while actually rapping very little. There's a song coming up on the show later on that came about exactly that way. So mostly it'll be a phrase or a title or a concept, and it'll just kind of work around that, but occasionally a riff. But in my case, it's more likely to be the other way.
Now, you also have your own your internet online radio show. Is that right? Tell us more about that concept and show.
Yeah, actually, my shows, there are several, actually. Some years back, Fusion Music Radio, which is the phenomenal recording artist and radio demigod Lewis Drayton and legendary composer and producer Octane got in touch with me. Lewis interviewed me as a recording artist, and I guess they were rather like, wow, he seems to be completely unaware what a spazzy sounds like. Let's give him a show. So they asked me if I dream of mine for many years, and I had actually pitched shows to major market LA talk stations. They didn't know that, but so there would be no talking about my radio without mentioning Audrey, my former co-host, widely believed to be a robot, but she insists she's just a British lady, and she co-hosted my show, The Soup Kitchen, and another old Fusion show called Shock and Awe, and she went on to have her own series, Audrey's Mixtape Show, and she's appeared on albums by Lewis Drayton, and a number of collaborations I did with music provided by Octane, the aforementioned Octane, and there are singles out there for that. So anyway, that'll come up later. But I ended up co-hosting Fusion's Butterflies and Hurricanes with Lewis for years, which was a profound honor. And that included also doing over 30 interviews, or what were intended to be interviews anyway. And sometimes they were looking for new presenters and shows. And I try to recruit people I think will do a good job. And I managed to get great hosts like Tilly Riddle from Russia, who does a show, and Hillrant from the UK, who does a show. And that leads to Birds of a Feather, the current big thing. I went out to see this band at a great venue here, and I saw another act that was there at the time also called Ascent, which is a husband and wife duo, Bruce Baldwin and Christina Baldwin. you know, and I got to talking to Christina, but, you know, it was the usual, hey, I like your stuff, I want to play you, blah, blah, blah. So she went and started listening to the shows and my music and became inexplicably this crazed fangirl. And we became the very best of friends, like, ever. So when I got around to asking her about doing a show, I figured no-brainer. She and her husband would do it, or she would do it herself. But she had other ideas. So she said she only wanted to do one with me, her radio hero. Well, so that ended up happening. But as it turns out, she's absolutely brilliant at marketing and branding, and she came up with a killer format. And to my wonderment, the show is a hit. So much that they wanted us to go weekly or do a spinoff, so we came up with another with Winging It, our every other week show. And that's what we do. We kind of wing it. But our chemistry is such that somehow it works. People want to listen to us. They want to hang out with us. They want to bear our children. And after recording via Skype for a couple of months, I had a brainstorm. Duh, why don't we record together to avoid that delightful telephone call quality that you usually get? Since we see each other and hang out socially and go to shows, let's just record in the same room. And the sound is fantastic. We're really pleased with it. So having thought of that, I can claim to have contributed something to the show, because she finds all the music and dreams up the segments, and I just show up and go, and she seems to think that counts for something. But yeah, Birds of a Feather is our current show. We'll tell you more about that later.
Yeah, well, you're staying busy, and you mentioned the next track. We're going to play it. Time for another great track from Professor P. Soup. I love the sound effects blended in here. I'm a big fan of sound effects. Bill, let's go ahead and play. This is titled The Natives Are Restless.
Forget Kong, there's one king, and here he comes.
Natives are restless.
The professor, bring the boot here.
Natives are restless. Oh.
Why are the natives so restless? Because everyone wants to be on the guest list, the in crowd, the happening group. But only a few get to hang with Pea Soup. Why else are the natives so restless? The professor's about to reveal his new set list. What's it gonna be this time? How many ways can a man bust a rhyme?
Natives are restless.
The professor, bring the boot here.
Natives are restless. Oh, natives are restless.
The professor, bring the boot here.
The Natives Are Restless, Professor P. Soup. That's a great track, and you got some killer guitar riffs in the middle of that. Tell us about that one.
Well, yeah, that was another one where I just had to use the phrase, and it had to be the title, The Natives Are Restless. I love that phrase. And, well, every one of my albums has an introduction song, like, you know, explaining something or, you know, saying hello or whatever, and that's the one from the third album, Supremacy. I had to use that phrase, and I figured a jungle motif seemed obvious. So a little ambient jungle noise, and there are three percussion tracks there overlaid that I recorded. It's not something I found, not that it's a big deal, but I really have to hand it to the animals on the recording. They really show me up. Their timing is much better than mine. I mean, they are dead on. Yes, the song that boldly proclaims, forget Kong, there's one king, and here he comes, and answers the question I've always wondered about. Actually, there are two reasons that the natives are restless. And the cacophony at the end that takes the song out is kind of a nod to my number two guitar goat, Black Sabbath's Tony Iommi, because he would often lay down two simultaneous lead guitar tracks that seemed to have nothing to do with each other, one left channel, one right. So that's how I wrapped it up. And the extended version goes on for another 30 seconds or so. So it's even more of a headache. But yeah, that's a fun tune. I like that one.
I'm glad you brought Tony up, because when you look at the rankings and, you know, Rolling Stone or what have you, and all-time guitar greats, sometimes he gets overlooked, don't you think? I mean, when you think of the tracks he's, you know, played on, I mean, Iron Man and all the Sabbath stuff, and, you know, going through, you know, two different lead singers, and Ozzy and Ronnie James Dio. I mean, he's produced some just incredible historic sounds.
He has, and even on the early stuff, I mean, a lot of people think Black Sabbath, they think Children of the Grave, Sweet Leaf, but they are really an incredibly progressive band. If you listen to like Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, with just a brilliant, their stuff is brilliant, and he can play jazz like nobody's business, and, you know, old school rock and blues, of course. They started out as a blues band, so he absolutely ranks up there. He is my second favorite guitarist of all time, no question about it. He's a lot of people. Revere him, but I don't think nearly enough. Yeah,
I agree. Tell our listeners about the album Tell Me a Story. You know, it was cool to see that on vinyl. You know, vinyl's making a comeback. Tell me about Tell Me a Story.
Yeah, vinyl making a comeback. About 20 years ago when it was going out, I was zooming around to all the record stores picking up records for 25 cents and 50 cents a pop, and now I got a big, vast collection of them, which are, you know, $25 if you get them new. So I'm a big vinyl fan. Actually, that one I just had printed as a souvenir by Kunaki.com. You can get a vinyl record for $30. It's just a souvenir, basically. But it isn't available per se. But the album, well, despite what some of my lady friends tell me, I don't consider myself a singer. So when I write a conventional song, something straight, normal, not, you know, satire, I write them for female voices. And I've been fortunate enough to have had wonderful ladies from five countries, eight wonderful female vocalists from five countries, take pity on me and sing my songs on this album and do a little bit of strings and sax even. Which, strictly speaking, is one track away from being finished. I mean, it's plenty long enough, but I always envisioned it would end up with this one that I can't seem to finish. So, but it's like got like 14 tracks on it already. I've got so many different types of voices on this, and dodgy production aside, it's usually what I point to when I want to show someone some work of mine because they can actually sing. In one notable case, a British band called The Fludes took a song that I had written. This is the only track on the album that I'm not even on. They whipped up this killer arrangement of it, accentuating all the highlights of the story with synthesizers. You know, I had written it to play myself on a ukulele with some very rustic sounding stuff, and they're sort of a medieval rock group, and the singer was going to do the vocals. But when I finished writing the last verse, they wanted to have a crack at it, and it's still hard to believe I had anything to do with it, what resulted, because it sounds so great. But, yeah, it was a real honor. I've got ladies on there from England, Australia, Russia, Israel, and the United States. And I've written a slew of songs for a follow-up album called Tell Me Another One. And I've got a dozen ladies who already agreed to sing them, adding more countries to the mix, like Spain and Barbados. But I just have to get around recording the darn thing. But so it's not exactly available, but you can hear it at the page we'll tell you about later on. But, yeah, the vinyl is just a souvenir. But the music's out there, and I'm pretty pleased with most of it.
Well, congratulations. Let's talk about social media for a minute, which I think is incredible. And I know you and I were connected through Susan A. Stevens, who we've had on the show, great singer, songwriter, musician from Canada. The ability to connect instantly and post your sound for the world to me is amazing every day. I mean, once you're done with the mix and master process, you have MP3s, you have WAV files, and you know, somebody from New Zealand, you mentioned Israel, Australia, anywhere in the world can listen to you in minutes. What are your thoughts on what social media has really taken music to a new level?
Well, I mean, with the technological 1-2 punch of multi-track recording and global access via the internet, it's possible to have fans the world over and to never have a band or even get out of your pajamas, really. Networking sounds so formal, so I prefer to think of it as making friends and building relationships. And I have had the most wonderful friendships develop with so many people, and I've been able to collaborate with a number of artists, not only on my stuff, but on theirs as well. Being invited to play bass, which means you're usually going to get some unsolicited drums and unsolicited lead guitar as well, and rap and some writing and producing. I did a 4-part song cycle with a fantastic Tasmanian singer-songwriter. So it's very rewarding, and I think you learn about things that way. I mean, you hear the shows that are coming up that you might have ordinarily missed, and you make contacts, and it's indispensable. It really is indispensable. I mean, the days where, you went down and played a bar or something like that, and maybe 30 people who were close enough to drive in heard you, and we can make, even crummy producers like I can make songs that have better fidelity than the original Chess and Sun Records and everything when they were going into studios and all standing around one mic and playing at the same time. So it's a whole new world, and I love it.
Yeah. No, it is. Technology is absolutely incredible. And it's opened up possibilities for, and that's one of the reasons I love doing the show, is to pay it forward to that new artist to get out there and try it themselves. Let's talk about music and the love of the art. And we know, everybody's listening tonight, making money from this art in music is more difficult. You make a few bucks here and there from streaming and, publishing. We know Playing Live is out based on the pandemic. And I thought this was an interesting statistic with Spotify. There's actually 207 million monthly active users and 96 million paying subscribers. It's a great way to monetize your music. You're certainly reaching new audiences with promotion, building a fan base. But, Professor, I hear a lot of people bash Spotify and social media all the time. And I don't know. I mean, with those numbers, putting your music in front of, close to 300 million people, that's not a bad thing, right?
Well, I can confess my dinosaur brain originally thought of Spotify as like a musical class action lawsuit where the firm gets $7 million and the affected victim class gets $1.38 each. But I've had to evolve. I do know artists, independent artists, who actually get paid a bit. And what I don't like about it is just the freebie mentality that some people have. I mean, Spotify is for discovering music. And yeah, it does pay, but I don't think it's an excuse to never buy records again. I listen to stuff on Spotify, and I buy a hell of a lot of records to this day. But I have come to appreciate it. And also, those of us who have been around long enough to have made mixtapes are really having a field day with this, because you can make that virtual mixtape and try to get these darn kids to appreciate some good music, and just make that Spotify playlist, and bam, there it is. So there's a lot to be said for it. I do appreciate it now, and it took me a while to come along to that, but I do like it. And I'm one of those subscribers that you talked about.
Yeah, I do wish the streaming rate was a little higher. I think that could certainly change. But if you look at the sheer numbers, when we had traditional radio back in the day, and you're flipping through dials, and now those channels seem to be obsolete. And streaming is just kind of exploding and taking over. But I saw that statistic. I was amazed by the base that they had of subscribers.
Well, and I don't like to call what we do as podcasts, because I'm concerned. Because think about it: a radio show that has a tower that actually transmits to a local geographical region. What do? They also go online on iHeartRadio and Spotify, so they can basically do what podcasts do already, which is reach the whole world. So
right.
I think, we Birds of a Feather, all of the Fusion Music Radio stuff is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Spreaker and all that, and that's where we get a lot of our listens. So we're there, and it's a means to reach people, and I've totally come to appreciate it.
Yeah, good. If there was a new artist beginning a career, let's say as a singer, comedian, musician tomorrow, what advice would you give them?
Well, you know, it used to be back in the day, you started a GarageBand, and now today you download the app GarageBand. If you want commercial success, pick the most sterile plastic beat you can find and drone whatever words pop into your head over it, and you've got a hit. Now, not to make it sound too easy, you have to take great care that none of your words actually rhyme and be certain not to modulate your pitch at all. You got to have one note, blah, 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 blah. But if you really want to be satisfied in your soul, as you said, we have to face that it isn't likely you're going to make a living in music. So, I mean, everybody I know, save one or two artists, actually has a day job, and they're making the best music I've ever heard, but they're doing it in their off hours. So I would advise two things. One, don't quit your day job, at least if you have anybody depending on you. I mean, if you're a lone wolf and you have a bunch of friends who don't mind sleeping in their cars, you could play bars, and maybe one night a man will come to the stage smoking a big cigar and driving a Cadillac car and say, boys, I think this band's out of sight, just like in the Boston song. But don't take your family down with you. And I would also borrow some advice from Shakespeare's Polonius. To thine own self be true. Make the music that you want to make, the stuff you wish somebody else were doing. And, you know, I assure you, whatever your particular particular eccentricities and your peculiar bents, you're not the only one. Somebody out there, maybe 10 people, maybe 1,000, maybe 1,000,000, wants to hear what you want to make. So do it and find them. You might as well have some satisfaction, and it's big. You know, do it for the work, for the process. Do it to discharge that creative static electricity that's built up in your thundercloud of a brain. You know, I don't know exactly how many pea brains are out there. That's what my And I got them by being me, and that's I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't think, you know, to have a hit today, you almost have to kind of suck. I mean, so I just make good music, get real satisfaction, find real fans, and you'll feel great.
No, I agree 100%. You have to be true to yourself, and don't be afraid of the word no. You know, you said it perfectly. If you have a sound and you have a format and a genre, put it out there and be true to yourself and be confident. I think that's great advice.
Yeah, and even if, I mean, and of course, no, hundreds and hundreds of no's often precedes big hits. Not that you'll necessarily have one, but of course, you never know. You really never know where you're going to take off. I always kind of half fantasized that I would become a strange surprise hit in like Japan or something. You know? But I mean, just think about how many times Jim Steinman and Meatloaf got turned down for Bat Out of Hell. I mean, and you know, it happened for them eventually. So, you know, keep doing it and just don't expect too much, except for, you know, 98% of it has to be the process and the doing it and everything. If you get any money out of it, well, remember, I know indie artists who've been on both sides. They've been on big labels. And the control, and I'm not demonizing labels, of course, they're perfectly right to want to expect a return on their investment. They want to make money, obviously, but they want to do so, and they want to be reasonably sure, according to what they think, that it's going so they're probably going to rein you in, and you might not like the pinch. So do your own thing.
Well, Professor Pisu, please tell us and tell our listeners where they can find you on social media.
My website is Professor P Soup. That's, well, Professor P Soup is P-S-O-O. Website doesn't have a dash. It's professorp.net. And on fusionmusicradio.net. You can hear all my music at Reverb Nation, all the stuff we talked about. And you can hear Butterflies and Hurricanes and Audrey's Mixtape Show and Birds of a Feather and Winging It and all that stuff on Spreaker and Spotify and Apple Podcasts, just about anywhere. My anthology, which contains most of the songs from my first three albums and a bunch of extras, will soon be available on the website. You can go to you can also right now go to iTunes if you want to search for Professor P. Soup and Audrey. You have to put "and Audrey." It'll come up with three singles, two of them with me and Audrey, songs that I wrote set to Octane's music, and the other one, it's just Audrey and Octane, called Audrey's New Jam. So you can get those now. Check out the tunes and Reverb Nation and listen to the shows on Fusion Music Radio.
Well, Professor Pea Soup, that's all we have time for tonight. I've really enjoyed the conversation. It's a great combination of comedy and some great guitar playing. And I really appreciate you being on our Thanksgiving Day show. Thank you so much for being my guest on Original Lyric Stream Radio.
Well, thank you so much, and have a great holiday, however it is you don't get too many people together, or don't tell if you do, but have a great holiday, you guys, and thank you so much for having on. I'm really pleased to be part of the holiday show here, special night and all that, and keep on doing what you're doing with your own music and promoting the wonderful works of the indie artists who we know are really keeping it alive, honestly. So thank you for that, and thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. I have great respect for you as an artist. We're going to post the replay of the show tonight in social media. And again, tomorrow, Friday, the show will be replayed in iHeartRadio. Thanks again, Professor. Hope you have a great evening.
Thanks, Russell. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Everyone, please Google search and support Professor Pea Soup and purchase his music, please. And if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, please send me a track of your music to russellfoisy@gmail.com. We accept all music genres. Love to hear your sound. Also, actively, we're seeking a sponsor for this radio show. Again, we're an iHeartRadio podcast. We're growing strong on additional 10-plus radio podcast platforms. And in my own social media feeds combined, I have a fan base of over 50,000. That's not too bad. Again, my name is Russell Foisy, your host of Original Lyric Stream Radio. Everybody, again, have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. Thank you again, Bill. And remember, everybody, try no matter what you're told. Good night.